Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but when you hear that the resurrection of Jesus is a fact of history, you find it difficult to take such a statement seriously. Well, my friend, I do understand, and obviously you're not alone in your convictions, and I realize you're saying this or thinking this sincerely. Here's a frequent comment that elaborates on this, which I hear from skeptics all the time regarding the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus really rose from the dead, then somebody other than a Christian should have reported on it. You can't trust the Gospels as history because the disciples of Jesus were his friends. They were biased. All right, first of all, we can trust the Gospels. They hold up very well as accurate history. That's a discussion for another time. For today, were the disciples of Jesus biased in the sense that they liked them and they were his friends? Well, of course they were. But notice how this is being set up. Give me accurate information about the life and deeds of Jesus, but the people who knew him the best, who followed him around for 3 years, who listened to him, ate with him, camped next to him, they don't count. My friends, that is insane. We would never, ever put such criteria on any other figure of history. I understand that in the Gospels, they're reporting on miracles, but we still have to look at it the way a historian did. What kinds of eyewitnesses were there? What kinds of testimonies were there? Whether or not miracles are scientifically possible, that's a different discussion. That's a discussion we've had on this radio show, but right now, we're looking at the purity and the objectivity of history. Having said that, as a matter of fact, there are ancient reports about Jesus outside the New Testament, but contemporary to the New Testament. We'll examine one of them today, and of course we'll examine others on future programs. Today we're going to look at the Jewish historian Josephus. He talks briefly, but matter-of-factly, about Jesus. He did not live long after Jesus and could easily have encountered many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. He would also have had access to documentation unavailable to subsequent generations. We know Josephus was not a Christian. For one thing, he believed very erroneously that the Emperor Vespasian was the Messiah. Also, a Christian, a true dedicated follower of Jesus, would have spent much more time and detail documenting a movement which he felt was the most significant one in the world. Josephus's clear yet casual interest in Jesus indicates a desire to list comprehensively the influential men of his day and more specifically the acts of Pontius Pilate, whom he was specifically keying in on when this casual paragraph comes up. It's his interest to do those things, not a desire to spend a lot of time there with Jesus as a biographer. Anyway, in this manner, with this casual interest, this is what he wrote about Jesus. I'm reading from the William Whiston translation. Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again at the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct to this day. Now, in all fairness, because we're getting into quite the controversial can of worms here, I have to admit this is a very contested and very disputed passage. The argument goes like this. Josephus could not possibly have written this paragraph about Jesus because he wasn't a Christian. Only Christians would call him Christ, and only Christians believe he rose from the dead. Now, ironically, these very same skeptics are usually the ones who begin their dialogue by saying, "Show me just one ancient historian, other than a Christian, Christians don't count, show me just one ancient historian who claims Jesus rose from the dead. If it were really so historical, people other than Christians would have known about it. And then I respond, okay, Josephus, a credible ancient source whose writings are widely used by historians and archaeologists alike for their knowledge of the ancient world? Oh, well, yeah, I've heard of him, but Josephus doesn't count. We know for a fact that the Jesus passage is corrupted, probably placed there by some Christian interpolator years after Josephus died. By interpolator, of course, they're referring to the fact that with the ancient world, we have copies of manuscripts, not the originals, but that's true of everything in the ancient world, including many things these very same skeptics accept. But anyway, the conversation goes on. They're saying it's a Christian interpolator. We know that for a fact. I go, oh, we know that for a fact, do we? Tell me, exactly how do we know this for a fact? Why? Because Josephus wasn't a Christian. Only a Christian would have claimed Jesus rose from the dead. But friend, you just asked me for a non-Christian historian. You see my point? This is called having your cake and eating it too. Sometimes there's simply no pleasing people. You give them just exactly what they ask for, and they dismiss it by engaging in circular reasoning. The bottom line, that passage exists. It's there in every extant manuscript of Antiquities 18. The claim of Christian rewriting is an argument based upon silence, and those are the most fleeting arguments of all. If one wants to make such a claim, the burden of proof is on him. Now, this rebuttal is based upon three erroneous assumptions. Number one, that Josephus could not call Jesus the Christ if he thought Emperor Vespasian was the Messiah. Number two, that Josephus would have to be a follower of Jesus to believe he rose from the dead. And third, that the phrase, if it be lawful to call him a man, could not be used by anyone who didn't accept the deity of Christ. I will address these assumptions one at a time. The first assumption, that Josephus, by calling him Christ, is identifying himself as a Christian. Not so. Not necessarily so. My friends, Jesus was actually a very common name in those days. Josephus himself, in his writings, mentions 14 different Jesuses. It makes sense to assume that by using the term Christ, he is simply specifying which Jesus he's talking about instead of claiming to be a follower. We should remember that Josephus was writing primarily to a Greek and Roman audience. The term Christ would have had special meaning to a Jew, but not the audience Josephus wrote for. To the Greeks and Romans, Christ would designate a certain type of revolutionary from Judea, not a title. This theory is supported by another text in which Josephus actually says Jesus who was called Christ. Here's that other passage. So he assembled the Sanhedrin of the judges and brought before them the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ, whose name was James, and some others, or some of his companions. And when he had formed an accusation against them as breakers of the law, he delivered them to be stoned. Talking here about the death of James, the brother of Jesus. Now, interestingly enough, this passage, the only other time Josephus mentions Jesus Christ, this passage is generally accepted by all scholars and probably reveals what Josephus intended in the Book 18 passage, a mere identification, a distinction from other men of the same name. Now, the other objection, the idea that by Josephus admitting Jesus rose from the dead, well, only a Christian would believe he rose from the dead. Listen, friends, the idea of a resurrection was commonly taught by Jewish Pharisees, and Josephus tells us that he became a Pharisee for a while. He became a Pharisee and talked about it in the first chapter of his collected writings. Pharisees believed in a final resurrected kingdom of God. This resurrection was discussed in their holy scripture. There was even a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 describing Elisha, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raising a widow's son from the dead here in this life. Josephus accepted the scriptures as the word of God. He's very clear about this. Therefore, he could easily have accepted the resurrection of a guy called Christ on the basis of investigation, interviews with eyewitnesses, etc. He could comprehend the notion of a holy prophet rising from the dead without even flinching, without feeling obligated to number himself amongst the Christians. The third objection that Josephus said, if we could call him a man, that only a Christian would believe in the deity of Christ. Look, I should point out that Jews believed in angels who could visit the earth manifested as human beings. So this phrase, if it be lawful to call him a man, in no way proves any personal belief on Josephus's part in the divinity of Jesus. However, in all likelihood, Josephus saw Jesus not as an angel, but as a prophet, and was merely trying to describe him as an unordinary man by using an exaggerated figure of speech not uncommon to ancient Jewish writers. Possibly, the historian considered both possibilities, angel or prophet. Josephus, aware of Jesus' miracles, may have simply been playing it safe by saying, I'm not really sure who Jesus was, but his impact is significant. And I remain open. Obviously, when a word like if is used, no conclusion has been drawn. My friends, we can confidently add Josephus's testimony as a Jewish, non-Christian, historical verification from ancient times contemporary with the New Testament of the resurrection of Jesus. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.